Chapter 37, Zedekiah Fails His Last Chance. In the ninth year of Zedekiah's reign, Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon came, he, and all his host, against Jerusalem. The outlook for Judah was hopeless. "Behold, I am against thee," the Lord himself declared through Ezekiel. "I will pour out mine indignation upon thee, I will blow against thee in the fire of my wrath, and deliver thee into the hand of brutish men, and skillful to destroy." The Egyptians endeavored to come to the rescue, and the Chaldeans, in order to keep them back, abandoned for a time their siege. Hope sprang up in the heart of Zedekiah, and he sent a messenger to Jeremiah, asking him to pray to God in behalf of the Hebrew nation. The prophet's fearful answer was, "Do not deceive yourselves, for even if you should defeat the whole army of Chaldeans who are fighting against you, and there remained of them only wounded men, every man in his tent, they would rise up and burn this city with fire." RSV. The remnant of Judah were to go into captivity and learn through adversity the lessons they had refused to learn under more favorable circumstances. Among the righteous still in Jerusalem were some who determined to place beyond the reach of ruthless hands the sacred ark containing the tables of stone on which had been traced the Decalogue. With mourning they secreted the ark in a cave. It was hidden from Israel, because of their sins, and was to be no more restored to them. That sacred ark is yet hidden. Now, as the fated city was about to pass into the hands of the heathen, Jeremiah considered his work done and attempted to leave, but was prevented by one who reported that he was about to join the Babylonians. The prophet denied the lying charge, but the princes were wroth with Jeremiah, and smote him, and put him in prison. The hopes that had sprung up when the armies of Nebuchadnezzar turned to meet the Egyptians were soon dashed to the ground. The mud of Egypt was but a broken reed. Inspiration had declared, "I will strengthen the arms of the king of Babylon, but the arms of Pharaoh shall fall down, and they shall know that I am the Lord, when I shall put my sword into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall stretch it out upon the land of Egypt." A Vacillating King's Secret Rendezvous. While the princes were still vainly looking toward Egypt for help, King Zedekiah was thinking of the prophet of God that had been thrust into prison. After many days the king sent for him and asked him secretly, "Is there any word from the Lord?" Jeremiah answered, "There is, for," said he, "thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon." Moreover Jeremiah said unto King Zedekiah, "Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, The king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore hear now, I pray thee, O my lord the king, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there." At this Zedekiah commanded that they commit Jeremiah into the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. The king dared not openly manifest any faith in Jeremiah. Though fear drove him to seek information privately, he was too weak to brave the disapprobation of his princes and people by submitting to the will of God as declared by the prophet. Jeremiah continued to advise submission to the Babylonian rule: "He that remaineth in this city shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence, but he that goeth forth to the Chaldeans shall live." At last the princes, enraged over the counsels that were contrary to their policy of resistance, made a vigorous protest before the king. The prophet was an enemy to the nation. He should be put to death. An Ethiopian saves Jeremiah's life. The cowardly king knew that the charges were false, but to propitiate those high and influential in the nation, he gave Jeremiah into their hands to do as they pleased. The prophet was cast into the dungeon of Malchiah, and they let down Jeremiah with cords. And in the dungeon there was no water, but mire, and Jeremiah sunk in the mire. But God raised up friends for him, who besought the king and had him again removed to the court of the prison. Once more the king sent privately for Jeremiah and bade him relate the purpose of God toward Jerusalem. Jeremiah inquired, "If I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me?" The king entered into a secret compact with the prophet. "As the Lord liveth, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life." There was still opportunity for the king to heed the warnings, and thus to temper with mercy the judgments falling on city and nation. "If you will surrender to the princes of the king of Babylon," was the message given the king, "then your life shall be spared. And this city shall not be burned with fire, and you and your house shall live. But if you do not surrender, then this city shall be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and you shall not escape from their hand." RSV. "I am afraid of the Jews who have deserted to the Chaldeans," the king replied, "lest I be handed over to them and they abuse me." But the prophet promised, "You shall not be given to them." And he added the earnest entreaty, "Obey now the voice of the Lord in what I say to you, and it shall be well with you, and your life shall be spared." RSV. Had the king chosen to obey, lives might have been spared and the city saved from conflagration, but he thought he had gone too far to retrace his steps. He was afraid of ridicule, afraid for his life. After years of rebellion against God, Zedekiah thought it too humiliating to say to his people, "I accept the word of the Lord, as spoken through the prophet Jeremiah, I dare not venture to war against the enemy." Zedekiah has no more rule stamina. With tears, Jeremiah entreated Zedekiah to save himself and his people. He assured him that unless he should heed the counsel of God, he could not escape with his life, and all his possessions would fall to the Babylonians. But the king would not retrace his steps. He decided to follow the counsel of the false prophets. He became a cringing slave to public opinion. With no fixed purpose to do evil, he was also without resolution to stand boldly for the right. The king was even too weak to be willing that his people know that he had held a conference with Jeremiah. If Zedekiah had bravely declared that he believed the words of the prophet, already half fulfilled, what desolation might have been averted? He should have said, "I will obey the Lord and save the city from utter ruin. I love truth, I hate sin, and I will follow the counsel of the Mighty One of Israel." The people would have respected Zedekiah's courageous spirit, and those who were wavering between faith and unbelief would have taken a firm stand for the right. The fearlessness and justice of this course would have inspired admiration and loyalty. Judah would have been spared the untold woe of carnage, famine, and fire. The weakness of Zedekiah was a sin for which he paid a fearful penalty. The enemy swept down like a resistless avalanche and devastated the city. The Hebrew armies were beaten back in confusion. Zedekiah was taken prisoner, his son slain before his eyes. The king was led from Jerusalem a captive, his eyes were put out, and after arriving in Babylon he perished miserably. The beautiful temple that for centuries had crowned Mount Zion was not spared. They burnt the house of God, and brake down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. The chief of the priests, officers, and princes were taken to Babylon and executed as traitors. Others were carried captive to live in servitude to Nebuchadnezzar and his sons. The Babylonians respect Jeremiah. Of Jeremiah it is recorded, "Nebuchadnezzar king of Babylon gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan the captain of the guard, saying, Take him, and do him no harm, but do unto him even as he shall say unto thee." Released from prison by the Babylonian officers, the prophet chose to cast his lot with the feeble remnant left by the Chaldeans to be vineyard dressers and husbandmen. Over these the Babylonians set Gedaliah as governor. Only a few months passed before the governor was treacherously slain. The people, after passing through many trials, were persuaded to take refuge in Egypt. Against this move, Jeremiah lifted his voice in protest, "Go not into Egypt," he pleaded. But the inspired counsel was not heeded, and all the remnant of Judah took flight into Egypt. They obeyed not the voice of the Lord. The sorrow of the prophet over the utter perversity of those who should have been the light of the world and over the fate of Zion and the people carried captive to Babylon is revealed in the lamentations he has left on record as a memorial of the folly of turning from the counsels of Jehovah to human wisdom. Amid the ruin, Jeremiah could still declare, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." His constant prayer was, "Let us search and try our ways, and turn again to the Lord." But now Zion was utterly destroyed, the people of God were in captivity. Overwhelmed with grief, the prophet exclaimed, "How lonely sits the city that was full of people! How like a widow has she become, she that was great among the nations! She that was a princess among the cities has become a vassal. She weeps bitterly in the night, tears on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she has none to comfort her, all her friends have dealt treacherously with her, they have become her enemies. Judah finds no resting place, all her gates are desolate, her priests groan, her maidens have been dragged away, and she herself suffers bitterly. Her foes have become the head, her enemies prosper. How the Lord in his anger has set the daughter of Zion under a cloud. He has cast down from heaven to earth the splendor of Israel, he has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. He has bent his bow like an enemy, with his right hand set like a foe, and he has slain all the pride of our eyes in the tent of the daughter of Zion, he has poured out his fury like fire. Remember, O Lord, what has befallen us, our fathers sinned, and are no more, and we bear their iniquities. Slaves rule over us, there is none to deliver us from their hand. Restore us to thyself, O Lord, that we may be restored. Renew our days as of old." RSV.